We're going to take a few minutes now to talk about clouds, those big, fluffy things in the sky that block the sun and ruin your picnics. Now, maybe you're thinking there are more important things to consider at a time like this, and you might be right. But our next guest believes the world needs more cloud lovers. Gavin Pretor-Pinney is the founder of the Cloud Appreciation Society. Yes, that's a thing. And he also has a new book out next month. It's called A Cloud a Day. Gavin, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi.
So this question feels stupid to ask you because I kind of know, I kind of don't, but what is a cloud?
Oh, that's a great question. It's not a stupid question. I mean, it's a question that kids ask, and then we... No, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Once we become adults, we stop asking
yes.
that question, all right? And so a cloud is made of water. You say, why does it not look like a glass of water? And that's because it's made of tiny, tiny bits. And the low clouds are tiny droplets of water. The high clouds are tiny ice crystals of water. And whenever something transparent is in tiny bits, it looks white to us because it scatters the light. It's exactly the same reason why snow looks white.
Mm.
It's the same reason why the foam on waves look white. Even though there's lots of water in a cloud, a typical cumulus cloud, the low cloud you see on a sunny day, has, if you add together all the droplets, same weight as 80 elephants.
Really?
So they're really heavy in terms of the water, but they're in the form of tiny droplets, so they all stay aloft in the air.
Well, and who knew there were so many of them? As I was doing my homework for this interview, as a good kid student would, I learned about something called a Mamatus cloud. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
That is a beautiful, ominous cloud that I've never seen before. Why are there so many?
Well, I mean, there are actually an infinite number of clouds. Each one is unique. And we divide this sort of huge variety of formations in the sky into these recognizable types. And there are 10 main types of cloud, which we call the genera, like a cumulus cloud
mm-hmm.
or a cirrus cloud or a cumulonimbus, the storm cloud. And then there are lots of more specific classifications, which would be where maybe just a patch of a cloud has something distinctive. And the ones you were talking about there, Mamatus clouds, or their official name is Mama, actually,
mm-hmm.
these look like pouches hanging from the underside of what is actually part of a storm cloud. The Latin name for this cloud, Mamma, is from the Latin for an udder. And they signify there's a large storm, but you're at the rear of it. It's heading away from you.
Do the same clouds form the same way all over the Earth, no matter where you are?
Well, they are effectively, you get the same formations around the world, but there are certain regions where you're more likely to see one type. So there's a type of cloud known as a lenticularis. It's named after the Latin for a lentil. And so it's a kind of disc, but it really looks just like a UFO.
Hmm.
It looks like a flying saucer. I think nobody knew the Latin for a UFO, basically, when they named it. And this cloud forms near mountains because they form as the air flows over the mountain and takes on a wave-like path. But in other cases, you get some formations that are more prevalent towards the poles. Generally speaking, we've got the same clouds all around the world, and that's one of the real important things for me with the society is the unifying nature of being engaged with the sky.
Well, and by the way, you are not a trained scientist.
I'm not.
And here you are dedicating your life to these fluffy things up in the sky. How did that happen? Why did that happen?
Well, because actually, you know, we all of us are experts in observing the weather. There's a long history in the world of meteorology of collaborations between amateurs and professionals. In fact, at the time of the birth of meteorology, the man who first named the clouds, he was a man called Luke Howard. And in 1802, he devised this system and he came up with the names cumulus and stratus and cirrus and so on. And he devised this system for we should use Latin names like we do for plants and animals. Maybe we should have a language for the sky because it'll help communications around other observers around the world for us to be able to share information. So he wasn't a meteorologist. It was before there were meteorologists. He was a pharmacist, lived in London, and he was a Quaker, and he just loved the sky. And he started the system we still use.
Well, so they drew him in, Clouds did, and they've drawn you in. You've started this Cloud Appreciation Society, founded in 2005, basically just you in your kitchen, it sounds like, on a whim.
Yeah.
And now you have, what, how many members?
48,000 members now in 120 countries.
And I understand that with help from your members, you were able to convince the World Meteorological Organization to acknowledge a new type of cloud. So here you are, a guy who's just sort of like casually interested in it, to making a major change in the way scientists see the sky. Tell me about the cloud Aspiratus.
Yeah, Aspiratus. Well pronounced. Well done.
My days in Latin, I guess,
paid
off. Yeah,
beautiful. How long was it? Back in 2008, someone sent us a photograph of some clouds from Iowa, Cedar Rapids in Iowa. And they were these weird kind of wavy clouds, but they looked very contorted, like it was like waves, but turned up to 11. There's a term for wavy clouds, undulatus, but this seemed different to me than the normal ones. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really quite know what to call those. When we get them sent in, we put them up on the Cloud Appreciation Society gallery, and we say what cloud type
it was. Crowdsource it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and and so we had. You know, I wasn't quite sure what they were, but then another one came in a bit later, and every now and then, one of these clouds that looked the same. They looked like you're underneath the sea snorkeling, and it's a really rough, turbulent day, until eventually I went, well, maybe we need a new classification. Maybe it's about time we had a term that describes these clouds, because I keep on seeing them every now and then. Well, cut a long story short, eventually the World Meteorological Organization put some international meteorologists together to do a new edition of this publication, International Cloud Atlas. If you want a cloud to be official, you've got to be in that.
But boy, I bet those scientists who've spent their whole life studying these things in a very academic setting didn't really like you coming along telling them that they'd missed something.
Maybe, but it wasn't like that, you know. I mean, the society is very inclusive. I don't think that even came into their vision, because it wasn't about, like, look how smart I am and look what you've missed. It was about technology linking together a network of people who are aware of the sky. Now, these people who are members of the Cloud Appreciation Society, they're not professional weather observers. They're people walking around with a smartphone, and they see a weird sky, they see a weird cloud, and they take a picture and send it in.
Well, I'm talking about the World Meteorological Organization, right?
Yeah. And so here we were. We've got that network coming together showing, look, what we've noticed, this pattern. Isn't that interesting? And they go, that is interesting, actually. And it is an example of, if you just have anyone being able to send in an image, you can spot a pattern which isn't easy to spot otherwise.
Well, we asked some of our listeners and our followers on social media to give us their favorite cloud memories. So here we have one from Daniel Herrera, who shared a picture of scattered cotton ball looking clouds, just kind of scattered across the sky. And she said, I've always had an affinity for clouds. When I was a kid, my mom and I would lay on the grass and watch the clouds float by, finding different shapes and calling out what we saw. Danielle told us that she loves when smaller clouds blanket the sky and a little light from the sun pours through, which is exactly what the picture is that she sent us.
Yeah, and those are being known as alto cumulus
clouds. So, but what is it about those clouds or any clouds that make us lay on our backs, look up at the sky, or stare out of an airplane window, which is what I love to do when I'm looking at clouds, and daydream?
So what's interesting is when you talk to people about clouds, they often have a kind of nostalgic relationship with them, just like your listener, because they often formed their connection with the sky when they were young. And that means it's a connection that goes deep. We all inhabit the same sky. We don't live beneath the sky. We live within it, just at the kind of bed of this ocean that is our atmosphere. So, you know, it's not surprising for me to hear one of your listeners, sort of when she thinks about the sky, to think about a memory from her youth.
What a reminder that there is more going on in the world than the craziness that is down here on Earth.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's such a, you know, to engage with the sky, I think, is a really important thing to do from the point of view of your well-being, and that is partly to do with getting perspective on the stresses and strains down here on the ground. You know, when you look up, you're physically lifting your vision and you're symbolically moving your attention away from, you know, looking down. When someone's stressed, they look down at the ground. And when we're attached to our devices, we're looking down. And so to look up is kind of an opposite of that, but it can apply also to the, you know, the division within politics or anything. There's a unifying quality. I could go and speak to, if we could just sort out the languages, I could sit down and speak with a Mongolian goat herder about cloud formations, and we both know what we were talking about, and we both have stuff to say, and there aren't so many subjects where that's the case.
Gavin Pretor-Penny, founder of the Cloud Appreciation Society, and we're going to link people up at hereandnow.org to some of the clouds that we've been speaking about, because it'd be great to see them, obviously. And your latest book, A Cloud a Day, it's coming out next month. Thank you so much for this reminder to look up.
Oh, Peter, thanks so much for having me in. It's great to be here.